to look at this tiny epistle from a slightly different angle than perhaps normally. I'd like us to think of it in terms of a letter of commendation. This morning our service began with the reading of a letter from an assembly asking us to remember or to welcome and receive our sister. And that is exactly what this is. It's asking an assembly to receive somebody. How do we know that? Look at verse 12 of Philemon. It says, "Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him." That is mine own bowels. Look at verse 15. "For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou should receive him forever." Verse 17. "If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself." And so, very clearly, this is a letter asking that this man, and the man in question is Onesimus, be received by the assembly. He said, "Well, I thought it was written to Philemon." Well, not exactly. If you read verse 1 and 2, you'll notice it says, "Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer." And then notice the next two words, "and to our beloved Apphia," many believe that's the wife of Philemon, "and Archippus," some even suspect that's the son, "our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." So it's written to an assembly that met in a home, and it met in the home of Philemon. Now, this letter of commendation, part of the difficulty with this letter is that it's concerning somebody who left under a cloud. He didn't leave under good circumstances. For one thing, he wasn't saved. Secondly, he was a slave and he had run away from his master. And thirdly, he had stolen money in order to make his getaway. And so they're being asked to receive somebody, but this somebody, there's a big bad reputation that's written all over this man. And sometimes when we ask to receive somebody, when they have a past history, it's hard for us to really, really receive them. We might do it formally, but in our hearts, we've always got a big question mark on the back of this person. Paul is asking, "You receive him as if you were receiving myself." Oh, that's a big difference, isn't it? As if it was, how do you think they would receive the Apostle Paul if he showed up? Oh, I'm sure they'd make a big fuss of him. Don't you think so? He said, "Receive him as if it was the Apostle Paul, as if it was me." So, a very challenging letter because the names of the people concerned are very interesting. For one thing, Philemon, his name means affectionate one. And really what he's being asked to do is live up to his name. Show genuine affection to somebody who has in the past hurt you. Because when Onesimus left, what that did was cause people to question what kind of a person Philemon was. Is he such a bad slave owner that this boy had to leave? Was he that bad? Now, he really wasn't. He was a good man, but always, in people's minds, there might be this question mark. Why would this man want to run away? Was he that bad? This man, Philemon. And so, he's been asked by Paul to live up to his name. To really show affection. Now, it's easy to love somebody you like, isn't it? Don't you find it easy to love people you like? What about loving people that have hurt you? Can you do that? I am glad that God loved us even though we robbed him. See, Philemon had been robbed by Onesimus. We have, before we were saved, we had consistently robbed God of the glory that was due to his name. We had robbed God, hadn't we? But aren't you glad that we're received? And how are we received? Just as Paul would say, "Receive him as myself," the Lord Jesus would say to his Father concerning us, "Receive him Even though in the past he's hurt you, even though in the past he has robbed you of glory, receive him as if you were receiving myself. Aren't you glad that the New Testament term for that is this? Accepted in the Beloved. God accepts me in the person of his Son as if I was his Son. That's how he, even though I've hurt him so much in the past, that's how he receives me. Isn't that wonderful? You don't look like you're happy about that. I think that's amazing, isn't it? Praise the Lord how we're received. And so he's asking him to live up to his name. And then, of course, Onesimus, his name is interesting too because it means profitable one. But he'd been anything but profitable. He had robbed his master. He'd run away from his master. But amazing things happen to people like Onesimus. He ran away, and of course, like most people that want to get away from things, he left Colossae and he headed to the big city, the metropolis. That's where people go when they want to run away, right into a city where they can just disappear in the crowd. And so he ran away to Rome. But when he got to Rome, I think something happened to this man Onesimus. You see, deep down, he wanted to be free. He didn't want to be a slave. And so he thought, if I can just get away, get into the big city, I can just disappear. And then he gets into this capital city of the Roman Empire. And what he learns is a lesson the Lord Jesus taught, and that is this, that these people weren't free after all. They were slaves themselves. They were slaves to sin, right? Whoever sins is a slave to sin. And he saw the bondage and the sin in the city of Rome, and he thought, wow, these people are not free after all. And then he heard about a man. He'd heard the name before, because actually Paul had led his former master to the Lord. We know that because he says in verse 19, I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand, I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. So at some point, Paul had led Philemon to the Lord. And so Onesimus is in Rome. He's disillusioned because he sees the abject slavery of people to sin. And he hears about a man called Paul, and he's heard that name before. He's meeting in a hired house. He's not free, Paul. He's chained to a soldier 24/7, but he's in an hired house. He can receive guests. And there's a message being preached there about the kingdom of God and how people can be free from sin. And so he goes to this house and perhaps sits in a Bible study. And as he hears Paul preach about faith in the Lord Jesus, repentance towards God, he is gloriously saved. Paul says, wonderful, I'm glad you're saved, but you need to go and put things right. See, salvation is a wonderful thing. It causes forgiveness and a right relationship with God. But sometimes God wants us to go and put things right. Remember Zacchaeus, when he came down and if ever I've robbed anybody or whatever, I'm going to fourfold restore. And there is this idea of making restitution for past hurts. And he says, so I want you to go back. Well, that would be hard. Wouldn't that be a long journey, going back to the place you ran away from? And deep in his mind, he's wondering, I wonder how they're going to accept me. He travels with a man called Tychicus. We know that from Colossians chapter 4. Now, I want you just to imagine that assembly, that Lord's Day morning, as they show up. Can you imagine, perhaps Philemon's on the door, and Onesimus shows up. Can you imagine the emotions going through his mind? This is the guy that's hurt my reputation. This is the man that's stolen from me. This is the man that's done me so much, my credibility so much harm, and he has the audacity to show up at the assembly. What's he thinking? And then Tychicus, who's got the letter, says, well, I'd like you, before you say anything, as we meet this morning, I'd like you to read this letter to the assembly. And as this letter is read, I can imagine every eye in the assembly is focused on Philemon. How is he going to respond? Is he going to live up to his name? Is he going to show affection to this man now that had hurt him in the past? Paul also says in this letter, verse 18, if he has wronged thee or oweth thee all, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. And in the very same way, the Lord Jesus can say to the Father concerning us, receive them. Because whatever damage they've done to you and your reputation, that was put on my account on Calvary. And I paid for it in full. And so it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, that he did pay it all. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And so, we find that there's one other name that we want to think about, and it's the name Paul. It's a funny thing, when you name your children, you don't sometimes think through the implications. My youngest boy is Paul, and his second name is Caleb. And then I realized afterwards I called him Little Dog. Because Paul means little, and Caleb means dog. Now that's not what I had in mind when I called him Paul Caleb. Although I suppose he's the youngest and he'll always be our little puppy. I suppose we could say that. But what we had in mind was that with the aspiration that our son would be like Paul, the apostle. And like Caleb, that he would run well to the end. That would be our desire. But here, Paul, his name means little. And I like this idea that this little man is making an appeal to an affectionate man concerning somebody who should have been a profitable man, but he wasn't. And can we just say this? I'm convinced that the only kind of men God uses are little men. That little man. God can't use big men. He can't. Because the idea is humility is a key aspect of the Christian faith, isn't it? We say we follow the Lord Jesus, but what is it about him? He humbled himself, right? He's the one that left the glories of heaven and humbled himself, taking upon himself the form of a servant. And it's such an incongruous thing for somebody who claims to be a follower of the Lord Jesus to think they're something, right? To have this the pride aspect. And so if we really want to be useful to the Lord, we have to become little men. Now, why was Paul so willing, as it were, to intercede on behalf of Onesimus? Because he can remember a day when he wanted to come to an assembly, and there was a huge question mark over him, wasn't there? This is the guy that used to kill Christians for a living. And so when he shows up at the assembly in Jerusalem, nobody wants to receive him. And you can understand why. Is he a spy? Is he really, truly what he says he is? Or is he going to let us down? Is he going to report us? What's he going to do? And so there's this big question mark over him, but there's a man called Barnabas. And Barnabas acted as Paul's letter of commendation, right? He vouched for him. And he said, I've seen what this man has done in Damascus and all of these things, and he vouched for him. So Paul now finds himself in a similar situation where somebody with a big question mark over him is coming and asking to be received. And Paul willingly and gladly writes on his behalf and says, receive him. Now Philemon certainly did have a good reputation. And I like this, that Paul and Timothy write it. In fact, the idea of Timothy being there is it's been confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses that Philemon really was a good man. verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. That's the reputation that had reached the ears of Paul concerning Philemon. And isn't it wonderful to have that reputation? That you love the Lord Jesus, your love and faith toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Can I just say this? In some ways, it's very easy for us to love the Lord Jesus who's in heaven. It's much more difficult for us to love all the saints who are down here on earth, right? Isn't that a struggle sometimes? Because sometimes the saints are not very lovely. And sometimes they hurt us, and sometimes they do things that are very painful towards us, and you're asking us to love them? Yes. That's exactly what we're being asked to do, to love all saints. And this is going to be tested, because now this man Onesimus has joined the company of all saints. And so now he's going to be asked to be received. He says, verse 6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. On my prayer list, one of the things that I have written there is, Lord, make me a refreshing brother. Isn't that a wonderful thing to refresh the saints? And we should be asking the Lord, help us to do this. This is what's needed today, right? Saints that will refresh the saints. And this is the reputation that Philemon has. Now, why is that so important? Because Martin Luther said that we are all God's Onesimi. Onesimi is the plural of Onesimus, because you couldn't say Onesimuses, could you? It wouldn't sound very good. And so the idea is that this story, there's something bigger behind it. It's the gospel story. And Onesimus is just like us in that we have in the past run away from our master. We've robbed him of the glory that was due to his name. But part of what we try to do to justify our sin and rebellion is to blacken the character of the one we've run away from. And so why this is so important is he's saying, Onesimus, what he did was wrong. Because he was a good master. The slaves outnumbered the free in the Roman Empire quite considerably. They say that perhaps 2/3 of the Roman Empire was slaves. And I would suspect that if you were going to be a slave in the Roman Empire, you couldn't possibly have had a better situation than in the home of Philemon. It was a Christian home. It was a home that had a brother whose name was affectionate and his actions proved it. So there was really no justification for him to run away, but he did. But the question is, will you receive him? And Paul is absolutely confident that he will. Look at verse 21. Having confidence in thy obedience, I roll unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Such confidence he had that Philemon wouldn't only just receive him, but he'd go the second mile. He'd do more than I say. And I say all this to say this. Sometimes we have to face these things. We have had a situation in our assembly where we had to put an elder out of fellowship. Very difficult thing. For serious sin, he's in prison. That's how serious his sin is, that he's got a prison sentence. But the man has repented. I have been with him, wept with him, seen his brokenness. There's no question he has repented. But the question is, when he gets out of prison, it's one thing to put somebody out, it's another thing to receive them back. It's almost easier, not that it's ever easy to put somebody out of fellowship, but to receive them, and what I mean by that is truly receive them. If this man comes back to our assembly, are we going to see a big question mark stamped on his back? Or are we going to be able to really receive him? See, receiving is a very important issue, isn't it? Receive one another. Paul says, receive him as myself. Receive him as if it was Paul the Apostle showing up at the door. Even though there's a question mark over his past. Because the good news is that our past failures never have to be final. Isn't that true? Failure never, ever has to be final. Praise the Lord for that. Because the power of the working of God in a person's life, the Holy Spirit working in them, is able to change people who, although they may have been called profitable, were unprofitable. But Paul says concerning him, he now is profitable. He's a changed man. Praise the Lord for a message that changes lives. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for this tiny little masterpiece of an epistle that is so instructive to our souls. And again, we're asking, Father, for help. We want to be able to not just have our heads filled with information, but have our hearts touched by the Word of God. And we pray you'd help us to love one another as the Lord Jesus has loved us. To receive one another as if we were receiving not just the Apostle Paul, but receiving the Lord himself. And so we pray for that spirit of love. We love New Testament principles, and yet, Father, we believe that one in which we failed so manifestly is a principle that is repeated again and again in thy word. Love one another as I have loved you. Lord, we ask that the Holy Ghost would shed abroad the love of God in all of our hearts, that we might truly love with a pure heart fervently. And we'll give thee the glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.